Kathy Helvey faced many trials in her lifetime. She knew what it meant to suffer, and she knew what it meant to trust.
I am going to sing to the Lord, for you have been good to me. I'm going to sing, Great is thy faithfulness. And I'm going to sing, It is well with my soul. And then I'm going to end with, They that wait, like Habakkuk was told to do, upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Lord, teach me to wait in the good times and in the bad, when I don't feel you and when I do, to wait and listen and believe. Trust.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, November 4th. Have you ever read the book of Habakkuk? A few years ago, Nancy Lee DeMoss taught through this slim book. The series Habakkuk, Moving from Fear to Faith, meant so much to so many listeners. It's because the book shows us how to approach God honestly with fears and worries, and it shows us how to trust God when the world around us is shaking. From September 2010 through September 2011, Revive Our Hearts is celebrating our 10th year of broadcasting. As part of this celebration, we're listening again to some of these classic series. One listener who was deeply moved by Nancy's study in Habakkuk was Kathy Helvey. She shared her thoughts along with Kim Wagner, Holly Eliff, and Maria Johnson as the series was wrapping up. We'll hear Kathy describe some of the suffering her family was going through and how the book of Habakkuk encouraged her. Kathy went home to be with the Lord earlier this year. While battling leukemia, she exhibited the same peace and trust in God she conveyed on this recording. We'll start with Holly Eliff.
As Nancy was teaching through this, I kept thinking about Habakkuk. And I love the fact that his questions were not all answered.
That's right.
In this book. That even as he waited on God, and even as he got to God in the midst of it, he still didn't have all his questions answered, but he knew he was secure. And
Nancy said nothing changed but his heart.
Right. And I mean, haven't you seen that happen where, mm-hmm. where the outward circumstances, I think of Hannah, you know, where she left that day after pouring out her heart before God. And Scripture says she went her way and she was able to eat and her face was no longer sad.
Yeah.
But nothing had changed right. in her life
mm-hmm.
except
right.
the fact that she had finally gotten to God with her heart issue. And I have just seen that happen so many times where the circumstances don't change, but you know you are in a place of safety because you have gotten to God. And I know you girls well enough to know that you have also been in those tight places.
Well, truth changes your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
After she'd reached God, spent that time with him, her perspective was changed.
Mm-hmm. And you realize God is enough. That's where Habakkuk ended. God was enough. He mm-hmm. was praising him. The circumstances hadn't changed. And he knew God was true to his word and the judgment would come. Mm-hmm. And it
but
was going
process.
To get worse. It is a process,
I mean, it,
Holly.
You know, you don't. I don't think you start there most
no,
of the time. Even if you've walked with the Lord for a long time. I think of Christ wrestling at Gethsemane. I mean, he mm-hmm. knew everything there was to know about the heart of God. But he was still in a point of wrestling. But it was not sin. And he walked through the process, and the bottom line was, God, I want your will mm-hmm. to be done. And you just see that over and over and over in Scripture. That process is there with men who know the truth and women who know the truth. But I do think we walk through a process of allowing God to temper our heart and teach us and change us.
And the thought that occurred to me is, I think God knows our heart. He knows how every thought we can't hide anything when we go to God mm-hmm. if we're really going to be real with God.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we don't want to be, he reveals who we are, what we were really thinking, what we did or didn't do. But when we go to get counsel outside of God, they don't know our inner heart or our motives.
We can say
them,
all the right things.
Mm-hmm. Sell them. I mean, we can be sincere in telling them what's grieving us and what went wrong, and we can get sympathetic answers. And if it's a really good friend, they might speak truth into our hearts, but they don't know the real true us. And I think sometimes that, whether we know it or not, that's the last person we want to go to, because we want the sympathy. We want somebody to agree with us, tell mm-hmm. us that we're not so bad after all. And God won't do that. He'll nail us.
But we have to get in the Word, though, mm-hmm. for Him to
absolutely,
yeah.
mm-hmm. absolutely. Or if we've been in the Word, He'll
remind us.
Remind us. Mm-hmm. Recall it back.
Right.
And convict us with it.
Other takeaways from the book of Habakkuk? What struck you? What did you find particularly encouraging or helpful or convicting?
Well, when you first told me that you were going to be teaching through Habakkuk, I told you, I said, I love Habakkuk. I'm so excited.
Only Kim would love Habakkuk.
And I said, what is she going to have to say about Habakkuk?
I actually read through the book and thought, okay. But
you told me, you said, how is she going to get 20 sessions out of these three chapters?
She got 10 out of 2 verses.
I know. Only John MacArthur and Nancy DeMoss. But I think normally when we think of Habakkuk, we think of those last 3 verses, which is the rejoicing. And we love to make that statement to say, no matter what, I will rejoice. I trust you. I worship you. But I don't think that we can get to that point without chapter 3, verse 2. Lord, I've heard the report about you, and I fear. And I so appreciate the session that you brought out, the fact that I don't think that we have as great an appreciation for the gospel until we really understand our own depravity without Christ, mm-hmm. until we really understand that God actually is justified in his wrath against depraved humanity. And after, you know, Habakkuk says that he's heard the report about you, after we have an understanding, like you said earlier, we can't really appreciate the New Testament gospel of grace without the backdrop of the depravity of man and the wrath of God. After Habakkuk heard the report about you, he knows that God is full of judgment and wrath and it's ready to come. He feared. And after he came to a greater understanding, I think, of God's justice in bringing wrath, then he was really able to worship God in a deeper way, a more understanding manner, to really worship him and say, no matter what, yeah, I deserve wrath. I deserve condemnation. You've been so merciful. You have paid for, you have taken on the wrath in my place.
But Habakkuk got to that point, as Nancy had said, of prayer and praise without his questions being answered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's making me crazy unless I know how this is going to turn out or when this will change. And yet, I think one example from this lesson is that we don't have to know. We only have to know him.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know the Lord, his faithfulness, and he won't leave us or forsake us. And we don't have to have our questions answered.
Mm-hmm. I found myself so grateful that we have the whole story for the whole counsel of God's word.
Yes.
That God, you know, I mean, we don't just have the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
We have the balance of the New Testament and the completion of the New Testament and the revelation of Christ. And I found myself so thankful that that God completed the whole story and that we have available to us the entire picture of who God is.
Habakkuk didn't have.
Right.
He could only see glimpses of it. And, of course, we see glimpses. But he was looking forward to the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He didn't know anything about Jesus.
But we are without excuse.
Yes.
We're this side of
grace and mercy.
I mean, we have the whole counsel of God's Word. Mm-hmm. We know all the facets of who He is. And how much easier should it be for us to trust Him than it was for Habakkuk, who only had part of that picture?
Right.
We have all of it. Right. We know that we have the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of Christ living out His life through us, and we still don't trust Him when it's a tough moment. You know, even in the not so many tough moments, I mean, even in the everyday, as Nancy said, I found out I was kind of a whiner sometimes, and I have a big sign above my refrigerator in my kitchen that says, "No whining," because that's one of my pet peeves with my kids. And so many times I get so frustrated with myself thinking, I must look like a 3-year-old to God, saying, God, why don't you do this my way? And it's just astounding to me, with all that we know, with all that I know.
We forget so quickly.
That I don't trust Him.
Mm-hmm. Circumstances fuel our emotions, and our emotions dictate our responses. And I don't know if you ask that in a question or a statement. But then you said, live in light of who God is, not our circumstances, because God is not changed. There is no lapse in God's goodness. That's a wonderful challenge and a wonderful life lesson. I don't write scripture so much on the cards, but I write little reminders like that and put all over my house, you know, to that will probably be one, that there's no lapse in God's goodness. Live in the light of who He is.
Not what
He does.
He does, although we see Him doing things all the time for us. That's a takeaway for me. It must have been about 6 weeks ago, our autistic young adult daughter, who is also bipolar, had one of these horrible manic, depressive, hellish, if I might say, episodes where we almost hospitalized her this time. And without going into how horrible it was, on the tail end of that, summer was over, and she graduated from high school, so I had been planning all summer her new life, caregivers and programs and people. And she had come out of this 6-week hellish episode, and I think I was emotionally and spiritually drained, but still charging ahead, trusting God. We were through it. And then she put her foot down and said, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing it. I was devastated. I thought, oh, no. God, why did you line up these wonderful caregivers and these wonderful programs all of a sudden to get to a point where I can't force her to do any of this? And I was so vulnerable during that day that I began to just slowly melt down myself, as she did, I did. And I went lower and lower with her. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking thoughts like, okay, I'm tired of this, Lord. I don't want to take care of her anymore. Is it time to put her in a group home? I've had it. Mm-hmm. My question to you is going to be, have you ever been where Habakkuk was? Because I hadn't gone that low before in my Christian life. With what I know, I'd never been so destitute, so low, so abandoned. And I remember driving her home from a swimming lesson that she refused to get into the pool over. And it all came down on me. This child is not going to do what I want, and everything is for naught. She went in the house crying. I went out onto the back deck and sat on a chair in a corner and just cried and cried and had it out with God. And I remember the bottom line was, God, you have abandoned me. I had thought all kinds of thoughts, and I was spiraling down and down. You're not changing this. She keeps having them. Where are you? Why aren't you helping me? You could change your heart. You change the heart of kings. Why aren't you doing anything with my daughter? And of all things, and I remember just looking out into the trees and the sunlight, thinking, I know you're out there, and I know you're in me, but I don't feel you. But I know your word is true. I know your word is true. And the verse I'd claim for my life at my birthday, I always claim a life verse for the next year, was in Psalm 13, where it says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart is going to rejoice in your salvation, and I am going to sing to the Lord, for you have been good to me. And I remember thinking, oh, God, that is my verse for the year. And I remember going back over it, going, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it. But I didn't feel it. It was a contrary choice. And I remember feeling very numb, and it was scary.
It was a scary place to be. And when Nancy started going through Habakkuk, I thought, you know what? I bet he was terrified that he was feeling this way toward God, doubting the God that he knew and loved and trusted. And when you've had that, and then it seems to have left you, not that you've left your faith, but it was a destitute place to be.
There are times when the circumstances
are
so huge.
That, even when you know what you know and you've lived what you've lived, I didn't see his hand. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel his comfort. And he didn't move right in there just because I said my verse either. Mm-hmm. It went on all night and I couldn't sleep all night long. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the night, I got up and I thought, well, I'll go have my quiet time earlier this morning. And I was reading through the Psalms and I got to, it was Psalm 77. I won't read the whole thing, but he says, then I thought, well, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High, I'm going to remember the track record. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and see what you've done. And he talks about the Israelites and about parting the water. And this is how it ends. He says, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. That just pierced my heart. And I thought, yes, I felt like I'd gone through a hurricane. And you reminded me here, you were right there with me. You were leading the way, even though I wanted to see you. I wanted to make sense of it. I wanted you to comfort me, but you didn't. But your footsteps were ahead of me, even though I couldn't see them. And then he ends it reminding me that you led your people like a flock. You are my shepherd. And so I will trust in your unfailing love that's perfect for me. My heart is going to rejoice because you're saving me even though I don't know it. And I am going to sing to the Lord, for you have been good to me. I'm going to sing, great is thy faithfulness. And I'm going to sing, it is well with my soul. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to end with, they that wait, like Habakkuk was told to do, upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Teach me to wait in the good times and in the bad, when I don't feel you and when I do, to wait and listen and believe, trust.
And you came out of that knowing that even though you don't see his hand, even though you don't see his footprints, you can trust his heart. Because you know his heart, you have spent so much time in his word, in the Psalms. The Lord faithfully showed up again in the Psalms for you, and let you know that you can trust his heart when nothing changes outwardly.
It's really the bottom line of the whole book. He had to get to the point where he could trust God in faith regardless of the circumstance. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, how cool that all those people, you know, in the roll call of the faithful there, most of those walked most of the time not knowing all the answers. And that's what made them such men and women of faith, is because they didn't have all the answers.
In fact, the thing that struck me in Hebrews 11 this morning was they all died in faith without ever having received the promises God had made to them.
Right.
But they still died in faith, knowing that God was going to fulfill his promises. I'm thinking, can I live all my life with no visible evidence
of the
that
things
God
not seen
is fulfilling his promises? But they did.
Right.
That's how you close the sessions, though, where you said our life message has to be a testimony of God's faithfulness. It's not faith in ourselves, our church, our ability, our knowledge. It's faith in God's faithfulness, and he does not change.
But even though we know all of that,
there's still tough moments.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm so glad little Habakkuk is stuck right in here, all three chapters of him, because it's just it in a nutshell that he was a man of God, a prophet, and yet he felt like that. And we will feel like that.
Yes.
And it will be scary, but we will persevere like he did, and we will go to the watchtower, and we will wait to see what God is going to do. And I am so uplifted by that middle part about the watchtower.
He ran to the Lord.
Well, I did too, but the Lord wasn't there, but I wasn't willing to wait.
Right. I love at the end of the book that visual of the deer on the cliff, because so many times in my life there is a sense that were God not holding me on that precipice, I could not be there. And that assurance that he knows I'm there, and he knows how narrow that path is. We were in Colorado a couple of years ago and watching these deer and the goats running on these ridges that were, you know, 3 or 4 inches wide, and thinking, that is amazing. But it makes that passage precious, because you're thinking, okay, you know, I don't have to be in a wide place for God to be there. At the most narrow moment of my faith, he is sufficient. And that's just a neat thought.
Something that has encouraged me so much just in this ministry, where there have been times I've said often, if I didn't know Jesus was in this boat with us in the middle of this storm, I would really be terrified. Mm-hmm. But of course, he is in the boat, and to change the metaphor there. But it has helped me to remember that in the final analysis, what counts is not the fact that I have been faithful. There have been times when I've just been so afraid of not being faithful, afraid I couldn't hang on to God and his grace. But the righteous live by faith. We don't live by our ability to live the life, and it's ultimately not my faithfulness or my ability to cling to God or to hang on to him that is what makes me succeed. It's God's faithfulness and the fact that he is not going to let go. As long as I am his and walking under his authority, he is not going to let my feet slip off that path, no matter how narrow and treacherous it seems. So I don't have to panic that that I'm not faithful enough to hold on. And there are times I feel like I'm hanging by my toenails, that I cannot cling to the Lord, and I'm so afraid I'm going to let him down. I'm not going to succeed at clinging to him in this situation. But in the final analysis, it's not the fact that I can cling to him successfully, or that I had enough energy or strength or faith to hang on to him. It's that he was faithful. He was hanging on to me. He's not going to let me go. So it's not my faithfulness ultimately, but his.
God is holding you. A wonderful picture and great encouragement from Nancy Lee DeMoss. She's been talking with some friends about trusting God when life is messy. We've heard from Maria Johnson, Kim Wagner, and Holly Eliff. And Kathy Helvey shared about the struggle she was facing because of her daughter's autism. A lot of listeners were affected by Kathy's story when this series aired a few years ago. A woman wrote, "Today, I thank Kathy for sharing her experience with us. It touched my heart. I'm in a place of waiting, and God has used you to speak words of endurance to me today." Another listener wrote, "I couldn't help but stop and listen carefully what God was telling me through Kathy as she was talking about her daughter. You see, I've been going through something very similar with my own daughter. I can only trust our Lord and wait to see what he will do." Another listener was aching for a hurting daughter and wrote, "A friend sent me a link to this radio series, and it has been a huge encouragement to me in this dark time." We're thankful for the way God used this program and Kathy's example. We'll miss Kathy, who went home to be with the Lord this past April. I know a lot of listeners will want to get a copy of today's conversation. It's part of the series Habakkuk, Moving from Fear to Faith. You'll hear Nancy's complete teaching through the book of Habakkuk. You'll also hear the honest conversation between Nancy, Kathy, and these friends. You'll learn to cling to God in all circumstances and wait patiently for him. For details on ordering the series on CD, call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. We'll continue remembering the life of Kathy Helvey tomorrow and reflecting on the book of Habakkuk. Learn to live your life with less worry and more trust. That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.